This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. If the Falcons' power structure had held on to a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, would they still be employed today? Everything else being the same.
It feels like they had three of those leads the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yes, but I think they keep their jobs. I think that buys you, winning a title buys you a little bit more time than what they have. It's kind of amazing that Gase still has a job and that those guys don't when they were in a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, up 28-3.
Don't you worry about Gase's job. I mean, it's going away soon.
We'll get to Ron McGill in a second. But first, please continue, Christine Lacy.
And finally, old people's smell is a real thing. It's called by a molecule called tunenyl, which is secreted by aging skin. Happy Greg Cody Tuesday, everybody.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is old people smell a real thing at Le Batard Show? The telephone number, if you want to talk to Ron McGill, is 786-456-4837. Lead us off, Roy Bellamy. What do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, the Utah Department of Agriculture and Food says that 10,000 minks have died in Utah. What from the coronavirus? What exactly is the coronavirus doing to the animal kingdom right now?
Well, the animal kingdom is a broad term, but there are special species that are directly affected by this virus. We know that big cats, domestic dogs, and mustelids. And mustelids include things like ferrets and minks and those related animals are very susceptible to the disease. Most animals, fortunately, it is not fatal to them, but unfortunately to minks, it is. So it is just showing, that these viruses can mutate and affect things other than humans and do in fact do that. And that's where we've had these catastrophic losses on these mink farms.
Chris, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, also in Utah, this viral video of this mountain lion or cougar, I'm not sure, stalking this guy for 6 minutes. It's absolutely terrifying. He makes the cat makes these like lunging motions at him multiple times. I know we've asked you about bears before and, getting real big and hey, bear. Like, what would you do in that instance if you were being stalked by a big cat?
Basically exactly what that guy did. He followed the same protocols that you follow when I told you people when you see something like a bear. Any predator in the wild, when you come across one like that, the one thing you don't do is turn and run. If you will notice, what that guy did, he was jogging down a trail. He noticed the cougar kittens. And by the way, cougar, puma, mountain lion, catamount, those are all the same animals. Panther, those are all the same animals. Different names for the same animal. But he noticed the kittens in the road, so he pulls out his phone to get video of these kittens. That was his mistake. When you see any kittens from any wild animal, you've got to assume the mother's around, and there is nothing more dangerous than a mother of a wild animal. She's gonna protect her cubs, her kittens, at whatever expense. So instead of just going there and taping, he should have said, uh-oh, there's got to be, and back away right away. But instead, he started the videotape, which I guess is okay now because he got this videotape. He had the camera out already when he saw the mother, and he went, uh-oh, I'm in deep trouble right now. But he was smart. He never turned his back. Now, the one time he did, you'll notice, as he's going back, he goes down to pick a rock up or something, and he went, and then she comes at him. The minute she sees that he's taken his eyes off of her and maybe turned his back to get something or walk away faster, she comes at him. That's when she spits. As soon as he straightens up, she stops. Okay? That is a normal behavior. People, you've got to understand, this cat was not coming to kill this guy, not coming to eat this guy. This cat was just defending her cubs. So you do what this guy did. Again, textbook. He put his hands up. He goes, hey, cat, go back. Hey, cat. Made himself sound big. Basically, instead of saying, hey, bear, he said, hey, kitty cat, whatever word to use. But basically, just raising his voice, sounding firm, keeping his arms up, and backing up slowly. As soon as he was far away enough from those cubs, he could make a bit of an aggressive stance like he was picking up a rock, and she turned and ran. She went back to her cubs. Her only objective was to get him away from her cubs. So that's the lesson. First of all, you see a baby animal in the wild, step away. Get away from it. Do not get next to baby wild animals because their mother's usually around and it's going to end up badly. Having said that, always back up. Never turn your back to a predator of any time and never run away from it.
The false charges that the animal was making there, were they just, were they bluffs or?
It's exactly what it is. It's all spit and fire. It's all a big bark. That happens. I, you know, I've worked a lot with cheetahs in the wild. Cheetahs are notorious for that. They'll come at you and they'll stomp their feet in front of you. They put their ears back and they lunge and they stomp and they hit the ground real hard. It's all a big show because to most people, you know, Dan, if you're walking in the forest and a mountain lion comes up to you and does that, you're going to run and, you know, soil your pants, and that's the effect that they want to have. They're challenging you. When you do not turn and run, they're more surprised than you are. They're like, uh-oh, okay, so I got to hold my ground. That's happened to me with a bull elephant in Africa. I've had a bull elephant come into my camp and start to charge, and whereas the people behind me started running, I just put my hands up. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I soiled my pants, but I said, there's no way I can get away if I'm going to run, so I just put my hands up and I go, hey, and that elephant just stopped in his tracks. Like,
what a stud.
Wait a minute.
Seriously.
No. You pooped your pants?
I probably soiled something. I'm not lying to you. I was so scared. But I knew I didn't have a chance. And I knew, you know, I had to do that. Was the only chance I had. And anybody who's worked with things like elephants, especially these bulls, they do these false charges all the time. They're used to something running away. But when you don't run away, they're smart enough to think, he's not running away. He might know something I don't know. Okay? So they stop. And, I mean, this bull stopped in his tracks literally 20 feet in front of me, man. 20 feet in front of me. He just stopped, put his ears out, and, you know, he shook his head real, real wildly and flapped his ears real round, like, oh, okay, you know. And then I just backed up, and he backed up, and we went our separate ways. I mean, I was scared out of my mind. The people in my party at the lodge, at the camp, were like, you're crazy. I go, no, that's the only thing you can do. And I learned that from Jim Fowler from Wild Kingdom. He showed me how that happened to him in the wild, and thank God I remembered that because I did the same thing, and it worked.
Moses, you are on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Moses, go ahead.
Hey, Ron. So what's your favorite animated movie? I'm a Shark Tales guy myself.
Okay, what's my favorite animated movie? That's got to be Lion King.
Animated animal movie, yes.
Yeah, that's Lion King. That's the greatest animated film of all time.
Kyle, you are on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, Ron. My question is, my brother used to live in Charleston, South Carolina. Now he lives down there in Florida. He alleges that the gators up in South Carolina were much bigger than where he is. Is that true, like deer are much bigger up north or squirrels?
Yeah, it is true. I mean, ironically, the alligators we find down here in South Florida are really the smallest of the alligators. People don't realize that, but they're the smallest. Once you get up to the central part of the state and the northern part of the state, these alligators get bigger. So that is true. You know, a lot of people don't realize, for instance, Louisiana has more alligators than Florida. A lot of people don't realize that, but it's a fact. There are more alligators in Louisiana, bigger, more than we have in the state of Florida.
Billy, you're on with Ron McGill. Billy Gill, what do you have for Ron?
Ron, I've noticed that dogs that are not fixed get very aggressive with other dogs that are not fixed. And then once they are fixed, they're no longer aggressive with the same dogs that are still not fixed. So what happens with them? I guess chemically they lose a testosterone or whatever, but do they lose the ability to smell whatever the other dogs are giving off?
No, it's testosterone is a very powerful hormone. It is a hormone that drives, you know, reproduction. It drives the survival of the fittest. If you have no desire to reproduce, there's no reason to fight. You know, they don't have that drive to fight because there's not that drive to breed. Okay, that's the difference. Now, that's what happens when you neuter a dog as opposed to vasectomizing. Now, if you vasectomize the dog, you're still going to have the problem because they're still producing the hormone. But that's why it's always suggested to neuter a dog that you're meant to have as a pet that you're not going to be reproducing, because it just creates a much more even temperament in the animal. And really, it's healthier for the animal in the long run because you can avoid several types of illnesses.
Greg, you had a follow-up to that?
Yeah, Ron, I wanted to circle back to Roy's question about the 10,000 minks who died of COVID at the Utah fur farm. If Ron McGill is the commissioner of the animal kingdom, does he abolish fur farms?
Yes. Yes, he does. He does abolish fur farms. The bottom line is, listen, they make artificial furs now that are just as good and many times better than having to kill dozens of animals to make one coat. I will never be able to support that.
Ron, are you armed with a video today.
I am.
It's been too long.
Wow. It's been great. Long. Yes, I have it. Tell me when you guys are ready.
All right. We are ready for some play-by-play. It has been many months since we've been able to do this.
Oh, jeez. You open up with an alligator with a turtle in his mouth. Oh, the turtle. Oh, no. He's got it again. Oh, watch your feet. Oh, jeez. He's going to crack that jaw. No, the turtle's getting away.
Yes.
The alligator's getting away. He's hopping away. He's going back into the water. This is fantastic. This is where the turtle wins. The underdog survives. This is fantastic. I have seen it go the other way around, guys. There's so much power in an alligator's jaw. I've seen them take a turtle in their jaws and pop them like a big zit. It's just disgusting, and it's horrible, and it's a horrible way to go. But this is a wonderful video because it starts off horrible with an obvious and it repeats itself. He goes in and out. The turtle's got his legs out. You got to hope those teeth don't catch the foot or the head, and he goes, hops away.
Yes, the turtle gets out of there faster. You've never seen a turtle that
fumbles.
Like,
That's a beautiful video. Thank you, Lorenzo, for sending me that video. I needed something uplifting to show that many times the underdog can win.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron. We appreciate your time, sir.
All right, guys. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
See you, Ron.
Don Lebatard.
I get many complaints about why do you cut Cody off so much? Why don't you let him talk more? He has no governor whatsoever for what others find interesting. It's just for what he finds interesting. And what he finds interesting is himself.
Stugatz.
I'm interested in people, so maybe people are interested in me. That's my governor.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and the Big Suey on Demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crepe. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Guys, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
So Chris Cody is still yelling at everybody about breakfast versus lunch. So what's the problem now? What is it that you're arguing? Who are you even arguing with?
I don't know. You guys just disrespected breakfast so much, holding lunch up on this pedestal. Like, can we at least agree on this? A weekend breakfast is way above lunch. I'm with you on a weekday breakfast because sometimes you're rushing and you just got to grab a granola bar or some fruit.
Right.
But on a weekend breakfast when you can make it or go out to breakfast is better than just a lunch. Come on, can we please, Stugatz, agree with me on that?
Well, it's a better version of the breakfast. I will give you that, especially if there's an omelet station involved. But it is not better than lunch. I just feel like there are more options that I enjoy for lunch. It's why it's my favorite meal. I mean,
how about brunch? How do you feel about brunch? Because what he's describing is brunch. It's not breakfast. It's the middle space here between breakfast and lunch.
I like a good brunch because you can either go with a hybrid, both breakfast and lunch. You can just go lunch, have a little tuna on a bagel, have some turkey on a bagel, or you can just go breakfast and have a nice omelet. I mean, those are so I'm a big fan of brunch, but again, I mean, lunch, I can go pizza, I can go a little pasta, I can have a chicken cutlet sandwich, I can have a turkey club, I can have a patty melt. Those are things I'm not eating in the morning. Sorry.
Chris, can you help me with something? When you started that joke of yours of fusing two words together, the previous word and another word so that it becomes one word, did that start with brunch, with breakfast and lunch? Did it start with jorts? Jeans and shorts. Where did that start? Do you remember the birthplace of that that window that you like to work in? Because there's very little more spectacular than a weekend brunch where you can get into the
mimosas.
The way
mimosas.
You get, nice, get yeah, into the nice, day drinking, yeah. You give yourself that permission that Stugatz won't give him to have a patty melt before noon. But if it's just out there as part of a hotel spread. Stugatz is absolutely grabbing a patty melt. The patty melt, I can make an argument for the patty melt as the best version of the burger.
Oh, wow.
It's controversial.
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I love a patty melt. I won't have one before noon, just so you know. I don't care where I am. I don't care if it's on the buffet menu or not. It is not going in my stomach before noon.
It looked like I saw Billy make a face at brunch. Billy, are you not a brunch guy?
Brunch is the absolute worst thing on earth. It was invented by the devil. It's awful. They'll charge you $7.99 for an egg that an hour before or an hour later is $2.99. It's so ridiculous. It's for suckers.
All right, put that on the poll. Is brunch the devil's work for suckers at Le Batard Show?
If you go with a family of four, do you order one brunch, one buffet, and everyone goes up with a separate plate? Like, how does that work? Because that's what we do.
If you go out not for surprising. A family of four to brunch, you're taking out a second mortgage.
So, you just buy so wait one a minute. It's the expense of brunch that's bothering you?
It's just the whole practice. It's the cost. It's the costumes. It's the flair. It's the pageantry. It's just I'm not about it.
Yeah, brunch regret, too. Like, you get the bill afterwards, and you realize you could have just gotten an omelet for $14 less.
The problem with brunch is the wishy-washy nature of it. Pick a meal. Pick a time. Mm-hmm. Either eat breakfast earlier in the morning or eat lunch at the noon hour. Don't go in between and have a little bit of both and make up a word for it. It's just like crazy. Why isn't there a combo between? There's not linner. Why should there be brunch?
Hey.
I think Billy's biggest problem is Miami brunch, right? It's not brunch somewhere else. It's the brunch in Miami specifically that makes it a show that everybody's got to get dressed up and you got to do this. You got to go there and
there's
everything's
DJs,
Instagram.
There's fireworks.
There's lights.
Why do we do that down here?
It's Miami. It's Miami. That's how Miami does breakfast. What do you mean?
There's like hookahs,
flamingo girls. Available. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
Can I just get eggs and toast and orange juice, please?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are you always filled with brunch regret at Le Batard Show? Because you are absolutely, like, I can just imagine someone driving around in their car right now in Iowa and saying, what is he talking about brunch with costumes? I just go to the Cracker Barrel and they give me some grits. Like, what is he talking about? But of course, that's the Miami brunch experience. You forgot also that the drugs are expensive.
Don Le Batard.
So I say to Cody, I say, you are great at donating other people's time. And he says, that's right. And then I say, and you're terrible at donating your own time. And he's like, that's right.
What's your point? I mean, somebody's got to be overseer.
You're not that person.
Oh, I am that person.
No,
I'm a can-do man. Can-do, baby.
Doing it.
Exactly. Well put.
Stugatz.
Why is he better being at being you than you are at being you on the radio?
I will have.
Like, he knows that the musical nature of this is that required of doing it.
You never know.
To maximum annoy me.
This is the Don Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line today on ESPN Daily. The Buffalo Bills are 4-0 and face the Titans tonight. Hear the case for why these Bills could, yes, go all the way.
All the way!
How about that? That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Why can they go all the way more than the Titans can go all the way?
They're undefeated as well, right?
Yes, the Titans have also not lost, and they most recently went more all of the way than the Bills went. All of the way.
They were a game away.
They were right there. But that can change quickly. Ask Matt Ryan and the people who run the Atlanta Falcon. They're dropping back to pass up 28-3. Everything's fine. And next thing you know, I mean, that owner stood by a dog fighter for a while. And now he's like, I don't know about this Matt Ryan thing. And the game is evolving so much that the cement-footed quarterback isn't really what you want anymore.
At 28-3, if you went to Dan Quinn and said, hey, in about 2 years, you're going to get fired.
Is it all going to blow up? You, your GM, and now the owner's saying, I'm not so sure about the quarterback either. Okay, good times. We were winning 28-3. Christine Lisi, you were saying.
And finally, if you've ever driven past those colorful balls strung up along a power line, you might have wondered what purpose they serve. They're actually used for aircraft safety. The balls are called visibility marker balls, and they help make power lines more obvious to low-flying aircraft like planes and helicopters. How about that?
Thank you, Christine. We like when it's informative instead of just cruel mocking of us.
Yes,
go into your, go get into your drinking ball, Bill's Mafia. Excuse me. That was a Freudian slip there. Bill's Mafia, drinking Bill's Mafia and cursing at your television situation as we've got Tuesday night football for Christine Lisi at 7 p.m. Greg Cody has proclaimed Titans win, book it. Chris Cody is feeling vindicated by a poll that reveals that 17% of people say lunch is the best meal. So Chris has been vindicated. And Greg Cody says that all of the IHOP breakfasts look like desserts. And is he right about this? Is he right about the menu at IHOP is slathered in syrups and sugars and fruits?
They'll put ice cream on anything there. I mean, they really will. A scoop or two of ice cream on a couple of pancakes, some syrup, some chocolate chips. Yeah, Greg's right. It does. It looks like dessert. Delicious dessert, by the way.
how many famous breakfast places are there, like, nationwide? Because I think of IHOP, I think of a different time. I don't even know. There are not many IHOP IHOPs in Miami.
The Broken Egg.
Are there many famous ones that you guys would point to among the breakfast options that you have?
Dan, there's a bunch of them. Waffle House, there's OHOP.
Wait a minute, but Denny's. I think of these places as places you go when you're drunk in the middle of the night. Like, Waffle House and Denny's, that's not what I think of as a breakfast place. I understand why you would say that, but I think of that as 4 a.m. in the morning. You've been drinking too much. You need to get a meal that's hot.
We don't all have chefs, Dan. Some of us go to Denny's on a nice Sunday morning.
Okay, but how about Waffle House? Am I wrong about the general style that Waffle House is going for? Doesn't Waffle House want to be there for your 3 a.m. needs more than your 10 a.m. needs? As a spiritual exercise.
You come in at 10 a.m., they look at you weird.
Yeah,
there.
They're like, yeah. Oh, wait a minute, are you here late? Have you been in the club 7 more hours than we thought you were there? Like, I don't think, you think people regularly choose to go to Waffle House just for breakfast because they haven't been drinking?
Wait a minute, OHOP is just local, Roy's saying in the chat? The nation doesn't have the original House of Pancakes?
No, they have the international one.
Oh, they need to get the OHOP, man. Better than the IHOP, in my opinion.
What is the difference?
Well, they're just two different places. One's the original House of... I just call it OHOP. It's called the original House of Pancakes, but, you know, the G's call it OHOP.
Is that right?
The G's.
he just walked away from the microphone and disgusted with himself.
Oh, he should be.
Saying, G's, why did I go G's there? And now his freckled face is in his freckled hands.
Actually, he's got the name wrong. It's the original Pancake House, not the original House of Pancakes.
Ah, it should be OHOP.
Of course, Roy knew that.
Segment just keeps getting better for you. It should. That's the Stugatz right there. That's the Stugatz move. He gets a name wrong, and then when you correct him on it, he says, well, it should be what I say it
is. I'm proud of you.
From the Stugatz book of rules there. Oh, Cody, give me everything you've got on the Titans. Your Titans win, book it. Why are we booking that?
A lot of it is just a hunch. I think Josh Allen is due for a Josh Allen game. The Josh Allen that we've known for the past couple of years is due for a reappearance. I think the Titans are going to rise up. They, you know, they've been down. They've been COVID laden. Now they're healthy. They're home. They're back. The Bills are due to lose. Book it. Titans.
Cody, the last
works for me.
The last couple of times I've asked you for your analysis, I made fun of you for the last time. You said, I just have a feeling. And right. Now today you go with, it's a hunch. Like
a lot of picking football is a hunch, and you know it very well. And you know it. Example, a lot of people were on Atlanta to win at home. I picked Carolina. I was on the right side of that one. I know what I'm doing. 30 years, baby. Picking it.
What is your record this season against the spread?
I am over 500 against the spread.
How much over 500?
I don't have the stats in front of me. Obviously, if I was way over 500, you'd know. Have the stats in front of me.
Can you do me a favor? We asked you earlier in the show, but you pulled out a folder of some sort, a file, where you had 30 years of your results picking games. Can you please add that up during this next break? 30 years.
I don't think there's time to do that. I will have it for the next show. Next Tuesday, I'll have that.
It's 30. It's a calculator. Like, it's just 30 numbers. Just add them. Like, it's 30 numbers on one side wins and 30 on the other losses.
It's 30 years of wins, 30 years of losses, 30 years of pushes, It's three categories.
The pushes 30. Keep you at 500. It's like that irrelevant replay from the Browns game or the Washington game the other day where it was 0 yards and they replayed it anyways, and it would have been the same if they hadn't gone to the video.
But it is technically 30 numbers on one side, 30 numbers on
it's
the
just
other, right?
Adding them. What do you mean it's not time? You could do that in 5 minutes during the break. Like,
no, it's going to take longer than that. I will produce.
Where's your back in my day? Like, how can you not? Where's your back in my day?
Yeah, we don't have one this week.
Who's we?
Me and the back in my day staff. We don't have one this week. My executive committee let me down.
Don Libertard.
Greg, what'd you give the Niners?
I don't do the instant grade thing.
Well, I mean, that's the next obvious step up for you since you're the mock draft champion. No, now you need to be the grading champion.
That's a step down.
Stugatz.
Kuiper, by the way, gave the Dolphins a C+, which I thought was a little bit harsh.
What would you have given them?
I probably would have given them a B.
You were 30 seconds removed from saying you don't care about draft grades.
I don't.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Getting it done, brought to you by Granger. League Championship Series over in the American League. The Rays got off to a quick start thanks to a 3-run homer by Manuel Margot in the bottom of the first. Tampa Bay would win 4-2 to take a 2-0 series lead. In the National League, the Braves and the Dodgers played each other close until a 4-run ninth. For the Bravos, that included 2 homers. Atlanta takes the first game of the series. Both series continue today. Granger helps your business move forward with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Do the real G's call it OHOP, at Lebatard Show. Chris Cody is filled with shame. He doesn't know why he did that. Let's update some polls. We've got a whole bunch of them to update today.
The Twitter poll at Lebatard Show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
I'll actually go back to yesterday, Dan. We had 2 or 3 from yesterday that I will clean up, and then we'll get to today's. Do you retire from Hollywood, or does Hollywood retire you? 97% of the audience said Hollywood retires you.
So Danny DeVito has vowed to never stop acting, but Hollywood might have other plans for him like it had for Sean Connery and Gene Hackman.
Who is more of a liar, Stugatz or LeBron? Closer than I thought. I got to be honest with you. Stugatz, 66%.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, pretty close. Does time work the same for everybody? I say it does not.
Well, wasn't the argument whether time worked the same for LeBron James versus someone else? I don't remember who it is.
I think time works differently for LeBron and Brady. That's what I think.
No. It was him and Danny Green both winning championships for 3 different teams.
Oh, okay. That's right.
It did work differently. You saw in these finals, though, that it worked differently. All of a sudden, Danny Green was somebody I wanted shooting shots against Miami. That is not how I felt when he played for the Spurs.
That's weird. 80% of the audience said no. Let me get up to today's here. Big fat white face. Big suey. Are you someone who has 3 square meals a day? 77% of the audience said no. Got a lot of votes on that. What is the best meal? This is the big one. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. How do you think this one went, Dan?
Well, dinner's got to be the big winner, but I was surprised that lunch fell in last place.
So was I. Dinner, 46.6% of the audience went with dinner. 36% said breakfast. Lunch, oof, sorry. Is Dickie V the only person who wants to see the Rays in the World Series? 72% of the audience said yes. Scrolling up here, Otto Graham, Sid Luckman. It's a great conversation.
I love the tweet someone sent out saying most shows are talking about LeBron versus MJ. The Lebatard Show is talking about Sid Luckman versus Otto Graham. We zig when others are zagging.
The highlight of the show for me is you asking if Sid Luckman from Aventura is Jewish.
I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to ask the question and understand why you were such a big supporter of Sid Luckman from Aventura. I wanted to understand why it is born 30 years before you, Sid Luckman is a big, like you got posters in your house of Sid Luckman.
You understand that.
Now I get it. Okay. Yes.
Well, the player who grabbed Ronaldo's jersey and said he would never wash it, now wash it. 64% of the audience said yes. Is old people smell a real thing? 98% of the audience said yes.
98%? Yep. People passionate about that one.
If the Falcons had held a 28-3 lead, would their power structure still have their jobs?
Can we think about this for a second?
It's amazing.
I mean... Do you feel like the Chiefs 3 years from now are going to fire somebody and not believe in their quarterback? Like, do you feel like that's something that's going to happen with the defending champion? Like, Matt Ryan is somebody the owner won't even give public lip service to. He will not give a vote of confidence to him.
It's crazy. 85% of the audience said yes, they'd still have their jobs. Are you always filled with brunch regret? 53% of the audience said yes. It's the worst, I'm telling you.
Well, not everybody agrees with that. Okay. That was pretty evenly split.
Is brunch the work of the devil designed to trap suckers?
That is Billy's very strong opinion. He came out very strong against brunch, but didn't call anyone suckers.
Did 69% of the audience said yes. Do the real G's call it OHOP?
Nice.
67% of the audience said no. Those are the polls.
There is a photograph that makes Greg Cody look like a real G, where he is sitting or he's standing next to Jack White, and it's hard to tell which one of them is happier. Mike Ryan saw Jack White on Saturday Night Live. I don't know that there's an artist that you like more than Jack White. Is there? Are there many artists that you have in your collection of musicians that you like more than Jack White?
In my collection, no. That he's my favorite musician of all time. The White Stripes is my favorite band of all time. So,
And Greg Cody, you want to tell people this photograph that Mike Ryan is holding up of a much younger Greg Cody, a much healthier Greg Cody, a Jack White in face paint, as he was wont to do back when he was younger. What can you tell us about that time that you spent with him?
Yeah, he had on his ghostly flower makeup at the time. That was either before or after a White Stripes concert. I can't really remember, but we knew him through Brendan Benson, who played with him and his friend and who plays with him in the Rack and Tours now. And Jack was very kind to chit-chat and meet with us.
Yeah, I don't believe that's face paint, by the way. He's just that pale. But I don't know if you saw his SNL musical performance, and he's one of those cool rock stars that everyone just sort of respects. No one takes shots at. Even if you think it's an experimental album, people sort of let him have it because they know his chops. And he had what is being called one of the greatest SNL performances because he was doing spot duty. And I don't know if you saw his first performance of the evening, where he played his collaboration with Beyonce, turned that into Ball and Biscuit, a song from his White Stripes days, and then invoked a Blind Willie Johnson song about the 1918 flu pandemic to make it of the times. Just sort of... on the fly, brand new arrangement for SNL. We were all sort of wondering, is he going to play new music? And instead, he tries to do something poignant and just super badass.
With Eddie Van Halen being remembered.
Yeah, he had the Eddie Van Halen model guitar as well. Just an incredible guitarist. He's our generation's sort of Jimi Hendrix. Each generation has a signature guitar player. For us, you could argue maybe Tom Morello, if that was probably a previous generation. Jack White for me.
Chris, why were you making a sour face? You were done with Mike Ryan's musical opinions?
It was more just Jack White, like playing. He was grabbing from Beyonce and taking the instant. Just play a song. Play a normal song. You know, we don't need to collaborate with seven different people.
Stop grabbing from everyone.
When you go to a Jack
White cover band,
when you go to a Jack White, he's covering his own music. It's not even possible. When you go to a Jack White concert, his band has no idea what he's going to play. They have to follow his lead.
How about you get over yourself and just tell the bandmates where you're going to play in what order?
Wow. Okay. Get over yourself, Jack White. Look, even your father, coming from the man who says the real G's call it OHOP, get over yourself, Jack White. Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, that's your favorite picture. Can you tell us how you felt watching Saturday Night Live, watching Jack White? Were you moved?
Yeah, it was a terrific performance. And like Mike said, he was a fill-in guest. Somebody else had canceled for...
Thank you for listening to the Dan Le Batard Show on Jack ESPN White. Radio.
You're welcome.